Earlier this week, 64 men were arrested in Zimbabwe. Authorities there say they are suspected of being mercenaries. And today, the government threatened to execute the men who'd landed in Harare on a plane operated by a company called Logo Logistics. The plane is registered in the United States and had falsely declared its cargo upon landing. Logo Logistics has given various answers as to who these men are and what they were doing in Zimbabwe. According to the latest reports, they were headed for the country of Equatorial Africa. Joining us now by phone to help us with this story's details and how they fit into a larger picture is Peter Singer. He's a National Security Fellow at the Brookings Institution here in Washington and the author of Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Privatized Military Industry. And Peter Singer, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Based on your knowledge of the story, could these be, in fact, mercenaries?
It is potential. It seems to be what the indicators are. We know that these 64 men flew into Zimbabwe, that they were linked with some private military companies based out of South Africa and London, and that they had basically told a different story as to where they were going. In some cases, when they got there, it was said that they were going to Ethiopia and just stopping in Zimbabwe as a refueling point. But also now they're claiming that they were going to the Congo to provide security at mining sites. But where the story gets interesting is that 15 different gentlemen, also of similar backgrounds, were arrested in the country of Equatorial Guinea and for being part of a suspected coup there.
Equatorial Guinea, I misspoke. Apparently, though, one thing that suggests that maybe they weren't mercenaries, there were no guns or weapons on this plane.
Well, one of the stories coming out is that they are actually picking up weapons in Zimbabwe, and it's possible, in fact, that there was parts of the regime there that were engaged in selling them weapons to take on their next step, which really makes an interesting story because then the government might have screwed up its own plot.
If you, by the way, have questions about this story and about private military companies or mercenaries, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or you can email us at totn@npr.org. And Peter Singer, what ties this story to what you know about companies called private military companies?
Well, what's interesting is that a couple of the individuals who were arrested, including the pilots and one of the chief executives, were linked with a company called Executive Outcomes in the past. This is was really the first companies in the private military field, and it was a South African firm that fought wars in Angola, the Congo, Sierra Leone, and it was probably the most noted. And it had been claimed to be shut down, but actually it now seems that the people within it are still operating. But they're just one company within a much larger industry. The firms operate in over 50 different countries, and in fact, there's the U.S. military is one of the biggest clients within this industry.
And what does the U.S. military use these companies for?
We've hired private military service companies for everything from providing security on the ground in Afghanistan and Iraq to troop training, strategic advice, to logistics, for example, the supply train for pretty much every U.S. military operation has been privatized.
So that their claim of this company at one point that these were private security officers might not, it's conceivable anyway?
It is plausible, but the link with the 15 guys being arrested in Equatorial Guinea might poke some holes in that claim. Also, they've been unwilling to reveal who their client was, what mining corporation was going to hire them to provide that security. And so since no one stepped forward, that's of interest. And then the final thing is that a number of the individuals, besides being linked with private military firms, also have been linked with the blood for diamonds trade. Basically, people who names that were listed in the UN report about people involved in illegal diamond trading. So it's all pretty suspicious. It's certainly an interesting story, and it's going to be the threads keep getting more interesting as we pull deeper.
And one of those, another one that emerged today, officials in Zimbabwe said that these men were linked to MI6, that's a British intelligence, the Central Intelligence Agency, and to Spanish intelligence as well. Did they provide any evidence of that?
No, they didn't. And what may be going on here is that Zimbabwe is trying to tie this into its own political advantage. The regime there is obviously anti-democratic. It's been under a lot of foreign pressure, and so it may be using this as a means to sort of spin that pressure back on governments. And what's been interesting is they've identified these 64 men who were mercenaries, but also they've taken the opportunity to say any journalists who write against the regime are also mercenaries. So in their own words, that it doesn't matter whether you're using the pen or the sword.
I see. Are there any laws that cover mercenaries?
Well, this is what's difficult and interesting at the same time, is that there are international laws that apply to mercenaries, but they don't actually prohibit them. And actually, they're written so badly that rarely is anyone prosecuted as a mercenary. There's very specific conditions that apply. They don't apply at all to when individuals are working for a private military company. Basically, when you're working for a broader entity, they've been found to be inapplicable. So we've got this international market of hundreds of private military companies around the world that are basically unregulated. And so then we fall back on the national laws to control for them. And what happens is that most states that they're based in don't even know that these guys are operating elsewhere. For example, South Africa certainly did not approve of these guys to go out and do whatever they're doing. And then the second part of it is, just like in other industries, they often will base in tax havens like the Caymans or Bermuda or the Channel Isles so that they can also escape any kind of regulation.
Email question from Bill Westerman in Brookville, Indiana. Are there any particular nations from which many mercenaries come?
It's a good question. It's a global trade just like any other. The individuals in this case were from South Africa, there were some Angolans in there, and there was also some Namibians and a couple Germans. But the industry as a whole has Americans who work in it. You know, Washington, D.C. is one of the hubs with a great number of ex-military folks. English, Ukrainians, Russians, for example, the biggest company on the ground in Iraq, a company called Global Risk, has about 100 ex-British SAS fighters, about 500 private soldiers they've hired from Nepal, and about 500 from Fiji.
And some, I would assume, are more reputable than others.
Exactly. There are some companies that, you know, make a point only to work for what we would identify as the good guys, for democratic governments. Some companies have even worked for humanitarian groups and environmental groups. And in other situations, you have companies that see they can make a quick buck in working for more nefarious, you know, mining corporations. They've been linked with warlords, guerrillas. A couple of drug cartels have hired these firms, and in fact, some terrorist groups have been linked with them. In a certain way, you can sort of make the parallel to the lawyer trade, in that, you know, some lawyers will only work for cases they think are reputable, and then you'll have other lawyers that specialize in, you know, defending drug dealers or the like.
Let's get a caller on the line. Daniel's with us from New Orleans.
Hi. My grandfather, he had recently passed away from cancer a couple years ago, but he was training soldiers. He was a retired reconnaissance trainer from the Army, and he was training soldiers to go overseas after Kosovo.
So did he tell you stories about this?
Well, actually, we had gone to Germany a few times, and we had went and visited him while he was still working for a company. And I can't tell you the exact name of the company offhand, but he would train, like, hundreds of soldiers. I mean, there was literally, like, a lot of – most of them were ex-military from the United States and England. And, I mean, they all had different skills. But, I mean, overall, he always said that it was – the privatized military was actually a great idea because it gave a lot of retired military folks from the United States a job.
Now, were these training idealistic young men to go fight for one side or the other in Kosovo?
From what I knew, it was more or less cleanup work. I mean, they were more or less going over there to provide security and
I see.
To
so
help the U.S. soldiers when they needed it.
After the war in Kosovo.
Oh, after the war in Kosovo?
No, this would have been after the war in Kosovo, in other words.
Yeah, from what I knew, most of them were fighting the cause of the same that the Americans were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically going to help as much as possible, from what I knew. I mean, I was really young at the time, though, so I'm just trying to go off of what I remember from the top of my head.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Daniel.
No problem.
Okay. So how long this industry, obviously, as Daniel suggests, has been around for a very long time, I guess, going back to the condottieri of Italy many centuries ago.
There's definitely parallels. You know, mercenaries have a history all the way back to the Romans and the ancient Greeks. But what's different about it right now is it's been corporatized. It's been transformed into business entities just like any other. And in fact, you can buy stock in them. A lot of them are part of multinational corporations or small cells within large American firms. And so that's what's different, is this organization into business units rather than sort of the old dogs of war that we used to read about.
Peter Singer, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Peter Singer, a national security fellow at the Brookings Institution here in Washington, D.C. He's the author of Corporate Warriors, The Rise of the Privatized Military Industry. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.